Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Sports Talk with Naj. Today, I'm talking to head coach for Cherokee, Joe Vieman. They are in the state championship. They're going to be contending for a title this weekend in Macon at the Centroplex. So I brought him on the show today to talk some hoops, team so far, and playing Wheeler, I believe, for the fourth time this season, and what's kind of the plan going in there. But, coach, introduce yourselves. Tell us a little bit about you and kind of your background.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, man. Second year head coach, first year head coaching job here at Cherokee. Been about 7 years as an assistant. Been kind of all over the place. I'm not originally from here, from Augusta, Georgia, originally. Found my way up here just really by God's plan and God's design. So I wasn't really planning on being a coach. That wasn't in the big time plans for me. I always thought of myself as a player, not someone who's been a coach, but God had other plans for me, man. I'm blessed to be here, blessed to be with these kids. I'm so happy for them. I'm proud of them.
Yes, sir. And for you, coach, the first year you guys go 16-10. This year you're 25-6. You rattled off six straight victories to start the season. Just what kind of allowed you to do that? What was kind of that off-season kind of message to your group before the season started? A bunch of seniors this year. Just what were you telling them to kind of get that, improvement and get 10 more wins this season and be where you at?
Yeah, man, year one last year, I think a lot of people didn't think we were going to be very good last year. When I took the job, there was some people that felt like there was going to be a rebuild. The year before I got here, they graduated the all-time leading scorer in school history, Division I kid that went to Siena, and then they also graduated a 6'10" kid, 1,000-point scorer who went to Xavier. So there was a lot of production that had exited the program when I took over. And we had a lot of kids that weren't necessarily playing big minutes, kids that were kind of younger program kids that hadn't got a chance to play at the varsity level very much. So it was some unproven experienced kids. But when we came in, we felt like we had a way to maybe flip some of the style about how this program had been known. They were typically a program that was a little bit slower. They had size. They had a style that kind of fit their personnel. It was a little bit different than what our personnel was last year. We just were smaller and quicker. And so we tried to take what we felt was our strengths and accentuate it right away. Played really, really well out the gate last year and surprised some people. I think we started the year last year 12-3. At one point had won nine in a row going into the Christmas break, and we felt like we kind of overachieved right away just from the standpoint of what people had thought. We stumbled in region play last year. When we got into region play, we played in a region that had Milton with Bruce Thornton and Kanan Carlisle. We had a region that had Brandon Rechsteiner in it. And so we went up against some of the best guards in the state last year, and we kind of found ourselves kind of bumping up into some adversity from a scouting point of view. I felt like we got easy to scout last year, and some of our inexperience showed down the stretch. And when we went to Norcross in round one last year, we played really well for three quarters, and then we just ran out of gas. We just didn't have enough. So when we finished the season, one of the things we immediately started doing was trying to revamp our strength and conditioning. And I got in the weight room with the kids, and we lifted every day, 5 days a week, starting right away. And that really carried us into June, and we felt like going into June, we were going to have a chance to see what we were made of. Played a tough June schedule. Played some really good teams in June that are in the state championship this year. We played Pace Academy. We played Lanier. We played several squads that I felt like were going to be a good test for us. We performed really well. Came into fall, felt like our roster was going to have some more experience and some opportunity to really prove we could play at the guard position. But really, what we did more than anything else was we elevated our skill level at positions we didn't have last year. So guys like Braylon Giddens and Mason Bennett and Dastin Hart, who were role players last year, we asked them early in June to become something better. We asked them to increase their skill level, increase their ability to take on an aggressive role offensively. We felt like we were a little bit one-dimensional last year. Cameron Pope and Tayden Owens were first team all region last year, but when it came to the end of the season, teams were clearly trying to take them away, and it hurt us. So we asked other guys to increase their game. And credit to Braylon, Mason, and Dastin for taking on roles that weren't necessarily comfortable to him. I mean, some of those kids, Braylon and Mason particularly, are two of the most unselfish kids you'll ever meet. It's not in their nature to hunt their shot. But we felt like in order for us to succeed as a team, we needed to expand our team's skill set. And they did it from the jump. You'll see across the season this year, on any given night, you might see a different leading score for us. And
yes.
And what happened for us this year was it became really hard to scout. It became really difficult to decide who you wanted to defend for us. And the way we move, the way we share the ball, and the team's willingness to kind of sacrifice individual stuff for the sake of the team carried us through early on. You mentioned the 6 wins to start the year. We were dealing with injuries. I mean, Tayden Owens was out. Dastin Hart was out. We were playing 5 kids, and we were going up against teams that were pretty good teams, and we had to gut it out, really, from a conditioning standpoint and from a skill level standpoint. But it gave us so much confidence to know we could win with 5 guys, playing some young kids, because it gave Braylon and Mason a chance to shine early in the year and really put that skill level to use. So I'm really happy for the team, just in the sense that the message in June was everybody eats. That was the message. It took a lot of buy-in, and they bought in immediately. And everything we've asked them to do from a team and an individual standpoint, they've done. And it's led to a lot of successes here.
Yes, sir. And to follow that up, you brought up some great points in what you were saying. In the society now, we kind of have just me, 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 me. It's all about me. But you have unselfish guys that come in taking bigger roles. You have a really well-rounded team. And it gets overlooked because it's like, oh, well, Cherokee, they don't have a star player. But you got a team that buys into the concepts that you want. They buy into, you know, playing for each other. How important do you think that is in this era of me, 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 having that and bringing that into the state championship?
I think it's huge. I think coaching today is really, really difficult because of the society we live in.
Yeah.
And it's hard to blame a kid for feeling that way, or because that's all they see and that's all they know. But we work a lot off the floor at trying to make sure that what we do from a program standpoint, and certainly from a coaching staff and a player standpoint, is authentic in our care and genuine care for other people. We work really hard from a program value standpoint to make sure that we're consistent and being genuine for each other. And so it doesn't surprise me that they bought in the sense that we put a lot of work into that off the floor. And this is a group, man, I can't tell you, man, this group has been together going all the way back to like elementary school. So it's
wow.
Not really hard. I mean, it's really hard in today's world when you got kids that maybe are not necessarily connected, but this group has been connected for a long time. They probably weren't as connected on the floor as they have been this year, but they have been connected to each other for a long time, and basketball has been a common experience for them together. So there's a lot of people that had a hand in their connectedness before I came here. There is a lot of people in this community that poured into these kids from an early age that helped develop some good habits regarding their willingness to play with each other. And what we tried to do when I came in was capitalize on that, capitalize on the fact that there were some common foundations there. And what you see this year is the relationship between each kid has come to the forefront on the court. And guys are really happy to be there with each other. They're happy to play for each other. They're happy to see each other succeed. They're there when guys are failing and not meeting the expectation. They're picking each other up. I've seen it in this run that we've made in the playoffs over and over again. Some of the things that we were asking them to do last year that was still uncomfortable for them, it's now second nature to them, which comes with the maturity and some of the experience. But we got a lot of seniors. We got 6 seniors. So these guys understand the importance of it being their last run together. But I can't tell you enough just about the willingness of the group to not care if they get 20, but instead care about a win. And when you got 5 or 6 guys in double figures, it becomes really hard to beat you. And we felt like that was the message in June. I sat with these seniors at Chick-fil-A in the first week of June, and I told them I felt like this is how we could do it. and they never once fought me on it. They never once balked at it. I mean, Cameron Pope and Tayden Owens, last year they were taking 20 shots a game, and each of them has sacrificed 8 to 10 shots a game to benefit guys like Braylon and Mason. And then Braylon and Mason have been willing to step into that role and say, no, I'm going to shoot more because it's best for the team. And either one is difficult in today's world. It's hard to step in, and it's hard to take a step back. And both of them are difficult things, and we got kids that were willing to do both, so I'm really proud of them.
Yes, sir. And let's talk about one of the matchups this postseason, Coach. Really close win, but great game. You guys beat Carrollton 70-66. They have a really good player, and Caleb Odom also is really good at football too. But just talking to me about that matchup, you know, how it went down, and, you know, what do you really remember from that game, and what stood out to you?
Man, that game was a big game for us. I'll tell you, we had poured a lot into our scout on Berkmar because we felt like Berkmar had a team that was going to present some challenges. And when we finished that game and we knew we were going to play Carrollton, when I looked at him on film, I actually saw him. I saw a team that played a lot like us, with, you know, with one big in Odom, and then they had really good guard play at four positions. So I felt like it was going to be a really tough game, especially playing in Carrollton. That environment was phenomenal, probably the loudest gym I've ever seen. And I felt like it was an opportunity for our connectedness to really show up, because that game was back and forth the whole time. Both teams executed, both teams defended really well. There were some key moments where we needed things to happen that were last year a little bit difficult for us. I remember being down four with about 3.5 minutes to go. We led most of the game, but they went on a run and got up by four. And I remember calling a timeout, and the group at that point had a choice. What, you're going to fold? We had some foul trouble. We were kind of trying to gut possessions out, and they mixed some things up on us defensively. And instead of pulling apart and quitting, we instantly got a bucket. We got a stop. We got another bucket. We got another bucket. And before you know it, the game flipped in a matter of about 30 to 40 seconds. And I remember the group down the stretch, you could see on our kids' faces the confidence that they could close that out. Cameron Pope hit some big free throws. Tayden Owens hit a three to put us up three with about a minute left. That was the difference in the game. And those guys are built for big moments. They've been through it. That was a phenomenal moment for our program and our school and our community. Hadn't been to the Final Four since 82. So I felt like it was a big win for us on the road. Certainly prepared us for the Final Four in the sense that we had to gut one out, because we played really well against Berkmar, played really well against West Forsyth. But we needed a little bit of adversity. But yeah, man, that was a game where I felt like proved to the kids, like, no, we are for real and we can do it. So I was happy that we were able to close that one out on the road for sure.
Yeah, and then the Final Four, I mean, that game was incredible. Goes to overtime. I mean, that's a back-and-forth contest between you and Norcross. You guys avenged the loss against them in the first round last year, you know, punching the tickets to the state championship game. But just, I mean, the ending, I mean, you're down 59-58. Tayden Owens goes to the line, hits two free throws. He hits a couple more after, gives you guys a three-point lead. You know, they come down and hit the free throw. They get the kind of scramble at the end for the rebound. Just what is going through your mind when they're scrambling for the ball and then, you know, Bilal throws up the shot, but, you know, it's obviously doesn't get near the basket. But what are you thinking during that whole time, that whole sequence?
Honestly, man, I was having to sit in the second half. So I couldn't stand up, and I was so worried about standing up on that last sequence. And I was worried that if I got out of my chair that I was going to get a technical foul and I was going to hurt the team. So I remember thinking with about 18 seconds left when Lawrence was at the free throw line, I lost track of how much time was left. I was so focused on making sure we were going to get back and making sure we got a rebound if we had a chance to. And as the ball started to become a loose ball, all I could think of was don't stand up. So I'm sitting there trying to glue to my chair. My assistant coaches are looking at the clock, but if you watch the clip, like, I'm not moving. And it took me like 3 or 4 seconds to realize the buzzer went off before I got out of my chair, because I was so concerned that there was going to be something that happened that would hurt my team. So I remember thinking those last 20 seconds, just that it almost felt like it took forever for it to happen. Lawrence made a great play to get his hands on that rebound off his missed free throw. Nate Speaks made a great play to tip it away to give us a chance. And then Tayden and them getting into the scrum, I felt like that was a phenomenal effort by the group. Norcross is a phenomenal team. We knew going in that it was going to be a battle, but we felt like we had a chance. We felt like we could play with them. And I felt like our guys resolve in the fourth quarter. I mean, we were down seven two times to get back into the game. Again, it's sort of like Carrollton. They didn't show any fear. They definitely weren't afraid of the moment, and they didn't want to quit. So I was really proud of, again, just our willingness to kind of gut it out, not worry about the scoreboard, not worry about the referees or the adversity, live in the moment, find some joy in it. And what you saw afterwards was a lot of joy, just because I think they realized again, like, hey, we can do it, you know?
Yeah, definitely, coach. And talk to me a little bit about, you mentioned it a little bit earlier, Braylon Givens, and then obviously Mason stepping up for you this year. But how is the senior leadership? You mentioned the six seniors you've had this year. Sometimes you see what different groups coach, like they'll kind of go to one player or a couple of group of players, and they'll kind of get on the team and hold them accountable instead of you always having to do it. Is that kind of disseminating through your team, or is it more so you kind of handling thing? Far as just, getting your guys going, like, how does that work with the whole senior leadership and having so many seniors on the team?
Well, I mean, I can't tell you about that unless I tell you kind of one of the things that we do in the program. So I'll give you a little bit of insight just in terms of how we set this up last year. But I don't believe in coaches dictating a lot. So when I took the job, one of the commitments I made early on, one of the first things I did was solicit a lot of feedback from the players about what they felt like needed to happen. And then I tried to take that feedback and run it through a filter of what I had experienced as an assistant coach and tried to put together a program that was player-led, but was about the players because I needed to be about the players. And so we started early last year with what we call our captain's council. And we had players vote on four players on the team that best represented our program values. It wasn't about on-court skill, and it wasn't about what you could produce. It was more about who you were. Last year, we had four of them. This year, coming into the year, I wrestled a lot with how do you manage a group that has six kids who embody the values? Do you limit it to four, or do you give certain kids more or less? And the decision that we made as a staff was that we needed to capitalize on all six's ability to lead. Because each of them are different. They have different things that they bring to the table. They have different strengths. Leadership for Braylon looks different than leadership for Mason. And it looks different than leadership from Cam or Dastin or Nate or Mason. So what we tried to do early was expand our captain's council and actually take it from just a varsity team to a whole program team. And so I gave my six seniors a group of kids that carried us from varsity all the way through the ninth grade. And they were responsible and accountable for holding players of each team to the standards. And the criteria to be a captain in our group is you need to be about our values. And our values are real simple. We talk about being a real program, and real is what we use as our acronym. Relationship is first, always. And then enthusiasm, because you got to have some joy and some fun about what you're doing, especially when you play for this long in the season. But the last two is what probably is the most difficult for kids. Kids love relationship and they love to have fun, but the authenticity and the leadership piece is big for us. So we asked our seniors to step up and to be themselves, to be consistently themselves, to understand that that doesn't mean you're perfect, but that you need to be consistent in addressing where you fall short and owning that mistakes. And then we ask you to lead, and you need to lead by example. Those program values have been in place since last year. It took better shape this year because I'm in year two instead of year one. So I knew after year one what needed to change and how I could be better. I tell people all the time, year one, I wasn't a great coach. I made a lot of mistakes in terms of how I coached certain players and what I thought I could get out of kids by doing things a certain way. This year, I felt like I was more secure in being my authentic self with my players. I think they responded to that immediately. I give a lot of freedom to my kids. because I trust them, and that trust is built on the relationship that we have. We said from the beginning that I was going to chase them. I was going to chase them on the court and off the court, and that there wasn't going to be no hiding. And these guys, the seniors particularly, don't hide. They don't hide from me. They don't hide from each other. They don't hide from difficult conversation, and they don't hide from uncomfortable stuff. And so what we've tried to really allow is the relational piece in our program to dictate conversation that gives them some agency and some voice. So they get a lot of say, and they understand not to abuse that. They understand that I'm not going to allow things to happen that don't meet what we need. But I give pretty much autonomy to that group, all the way down to player discipline. We run all discipline through our captains. I run it all through a filter of what do players think need to happen. And for me, that gives me a lot of freedom, because as a player growing up, you never want to feel like you're being punished unnecessarily or unfairly. You want it to be something that you subscribe to. And to have a voice in that, I felt like was important. And the kids have responded. I think they appreciate the voice we give them. I think they understand the responsibility that comes with it. There's always going to be some messiness that comes with it. You're dealing with kids and you're dealing with relationships. There's always messiness. But we try really hard. I try really hard, not perfect by any stretch, but I try really hard to be humble about it with the kids, to always show them where I fall short and be the first to admit where I fall short. And I think that breeds a lot of trust. And I think what's happened with our kids is they've taken ownership of that. I think they believe in me because I believe a lot in them. And we try to keep it that way, whether we win or lose them. So I've been really proud of the program we've created, not just the wins. I'd be proud of this group if we were in the first round and lost, because they've done a lot in terms of putting this program on the map already.
Yeah, Coach, sounds like you got a good thing brewing there in Cherokee. Regardless of the result this weekend, sounds like you're building it from the ground up, and sounds like you got a lot of players, even the youngsters when they come up in the next couple of seasons, that's building, you know, a program that can sustain, you know, for years to come.
Yeah, that's definitely, you know, it's hard to do to build a program. It's hard to do it on your own, because I don't have the ability to be everywhere at all times and do everything at all times. You got to have a lot of people around you. Like I said, this particular group of seniors has been poured into by a lot of people before I came here. So it's important for me in a second year position to acknowledge everyone that has played a part in their development as players and as people. And then also for us to understand as coaches how, if this is going to continue, how we can do that the right way. So developing our middle school programs, communicating with our middle school kids and parents, having them be a part of things to whatever level they can be. For me personally, it's about being visible and being authentic with people. When they see me, I want them to know they know the real me, that they don't have to hide or worry about who this varsity coach is. I see a lot of these people in the community all the time. I try and always be the same for them. So I'm just appreciative of the opportunity that was given to me. A lot of people probably wouldn't hire a guy with no experience. My administration gave me a chance, really without any reason to. And the community has been supportive from day one. I got a lot of people that have been behind me. And in these moments, you know, it's easy to say with some pride, like, oh, you know, look at what we've done, or look at what I did. I try to fight that as much as possible, because I know just as well it could be a loss in the first round, or you could get out, you know, in region tournament. And I'm real blessed and humbled by the success we've had, but I know it a lot of it has very little to do with what I've done.
Yes, sir. And continuing with prior to the season, or during the season, I remember you telling me your two some of your best players are getting hurt, right? Owens is hurt, Pope's hurt. Then you have to have plan to play five out. You have to have some guys step up. So just tell me a little bit about the youngsters for the team this year. You know, what are some guys that's, you know, whether it be a pleasant surprise or just, you know, hey, I'm going to need you to do this role this year. Who are some of those guys, besides the ones you told me earlier, the two, Braylon Gibbons and Mason, who are some other guys that also stepped up big for you this season?
Well, I'll give you a couple names. My sixth man, Lawrence Sanford, is probably the most talented kid in the program. He's the only kid in my program that has a Division I offer. He's got two of them. And Lawrence, last year as a freshman, didn't play hardly at all. Like he was with me and he practiced with me, but he didn't get a lot of minutes. And so we needed Lawrence to, A, take some steps forward in terms of how he wanted to play defense, and then, B, we needed him to mature. Part of the maturity for him was understanding that just because he had a Division I offer didn't mean that he was going to be handed anything or particularly handed any minutes. And so as Mason and Braylon increased their skill level, so did Lawrence. He took off from a physicality and a skill level standpoint. And I told him early in the year I needed him to be a sixth man. I needed him to give us a spark every game. I needed him to learn how to guard on the ball and off the ball. For a kid to be that good that he had a Division I offer in June without really ever playing varsity minutes, for him to be that good and that humble about accepting where he fits and accepting what the team needs, he was a lift immediately for us. And we went through a stretch where he was away from the team, visiting some family for about 3 weeks, and he missed some games for us. And when he came back right at the beginning of region play, I felt like that's when we really came together as a group. We finally had a roster that was healthy and complete. Two or three other kids that I felt like gave us a win at various points. Early in the season, we played River Ridge, team that went to the Sweet 16 in 6A, won 23 games. We're on the road there in the third or fourth game of the year. Braylon Giddens, we were already down Tayden and my big kid. So Braylon fouls out in the fourth quarter, and I have to put a kid named Hampton Cox in the game who's never played on varsity court. He steps in the game with about 4 minutes to go in a tight game and instantly takes the charge. And then the next possession down the floor hits a big three to help us separate. And this is a freshman. He ain't never played before. He stole a game for us that night just by doing what we asked him to do. A couple other kids that have done the same thing. I mean, we went on the road to North Cobb, who won 17 games and was in the top 10 for much of the season. And Caden Walsh came in. Dastin Hart got in foul trouble, and Caden Walsh came in and played great for us, especially on defensive side. Gave us a lift, helped us steal a road win early in the region schedule. And then in the first round of state playoffs, Hayden Darko, who's about 5'8", who's a sophomore, didn't play a lot for me much of the year. I mean, I told him that whole week I felt like against West Forsyth we were going to need him. Dastin was hurt. He wasn't going to play. We were going to need at least a couple minutes to spell some of my guards. And Hayden came in the first half, scored 8 points, two threes and a quick two, played great defense, had a couple steals and rebounds. And that's a kid who never got on the court, but he just stayed true to what we were doing and was ready for the moment. And in the first round state playoff game, he helps us win a home playoff game. And really, it speaks to their willingness to commit to what we're doing. It speaks to their humility about their role, but understanding that they still have a role on the team. And I felt like there were moments throughout the year like that where guys were willing to be humble, willing to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And when their moment was called, they were ready. I mean, look at Nate Speaks against Norcross. He didn't play the whole game until the last 5 seconds of regulation.
Right.
And I asked him to go in there and guard the inbounds and knock it away, and he does it. And then I asked him to play overtime without fouling, and he does it. And he helped us win on that tip out to Lawrence on the free throws. So that's a kid who's a senior who hardly plays, but understood what he needed to bring to the team. And look at where we are because of it.
It's a good point, coach. Players stepping up consistently and knowing the role and trusting in you and you trusting in them. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, you guys' story, I love to hear about it and what you could deal what you bringing into that program and what the players are buying in and, you know, what you're starting to build there. But you got this big behemoth this weekend, coach. You got Wheeler, who is, you know, probably revered as the best team in the state. You've seen them three times already. They got some stars on the team. Obviously, Isaiah Collier, number one player in the country. Erickson Page, Jelani Hamilton, all D1 prospects. So just before we break down the matchup, just what have you seen, you know, earlier in the earlier matchups against them that stood out to you? And just what are some things you can kind of focus in on with your team without revealing too much of the game plan? But just what are some things you're focusing on with your team?
Yeah, I mean, what else can you say about Wheeler, dude? I mean, they got I mean, in my mind, without a doubt, the best player in the country. Probably the best point guard I've ever seen at the high school level. I've seen some good ones, but he's phenomenal. I mean, on both ends of the floor. And Paige is an absolute force. Can step out and shoot it. Has been able to dominate the paint for much of the year. Hamilton is a sniper. Don't, you know, he you leave him open, he's going to hit it. But I feel like their role players bring a ton as well. I feel like number two, Mitchell, is a dog on defense, does a lot of good things for them offensively. McKenzie's playing probably the best he's played all season, shooting the ball extremely well for them. Another dynamic kid from the wing. Number 14, Hill is a force as well. I think he's underlooked by people. I think he's underestimated by people. I think he's got a lot to prove. And you see him play with that edge, which is a big deal, especially when you play a national schedule like they do. I'm sure he's probably secured some wins for them and helped get them over the hump against teams because you got to have guys like that. I know he hurt us a couple times this year already. So I feel like when you look at Wheeler, it's easy to point to Collier and Page, and rightfully so. But I feel like they got a complete team. I feel like Coach Thompson does a phenomenal job. We've seen them 3 times, so we're very familiar with each other. I feel like early in the year when we played them at home, we caught them on a week where they were coming off their national schedule. I felt like we had an opportunity to play really well with them being probably not as scouted with us as they would be now, given that they were on the road for so much of the early part of the year. We played really well that night, but what happened in the second half was proof of how good they are. We had them down 10 here, and they came out and they increased their intensity level. They increased their physicality, and they kind of flipped that switch coming out in the third quarter. And we got in foul trouble. We just weren't able to withstand some of that push from them down the stretch. We played them well again at their place in the second regular season matchup. But they kind of were separated from us by 8 to 10 points, but we were able to kind of stay within striking distance. And then in the region championship, I felt like what you saw from Wheeler that night was probably the most complete performance Wheeler had put together all year. I told our guys that night, like that's a team that was focused on a mission. Felt like that was a team that wanted to prove something, and they did. So I think for our group, knowing you've seen them 3 times, it brings a lot of comfort because it's not anything you ain't seen before. But it also brings a lot of urgency too, because you see what they're capable of, you see how good they are. But the run we've been on brings a lot of confidence. So for our group, we just got to stay true to ourselves. I think there's a lot of people that would say, well, you lost 3 times. Maybe you need to change something up. As a coach, I tend to go against that because we're here because of what we've done. We're here, especially in the state playoffs, we're here because of who we are and what we've done. Certainly there's adjustments that you need to make, and there's some things, you know, when you're playing a one game season at this point, you want to have things ready to go to, but you can't flip your identity in 4 days. And
No.
you certainly can't flip your identity when your personnel doesn't change in 4 days. So you're not asking a roster like ours match against their roster. You can't ask your kids to become something different than who they are. And certainly you don't want to break your kids' confidence by saying we can't do this and we can't do that. You certainly, you know, when you look at playing against Wheeler, whether it's us or anybody they played, can't turn the ball over. You can't give easy shots, and you got to stay out of foul trouble. Nobody in the state of Georgia has been able to do it yet. So, to me, as much as people make it out to be, you know, how are you going to do it? I mean, ask everyone that's played them, how are you going to do it? No one's got an answer yet. We're going to
Right.
give it our best shot. We're going to give everything we got. These guys are going to compete hard. We're going to have a lot of fun enjoying the moment, and we're going to be ready and prepared. But this is we certainly understand the tall task nature of it, but I know a lot of teams that would trade places with us in a heartbeat. So we're not going to shy away from it at all. We're just going to go out there and give it everything we got, be a part of history, enjoy the fact that we're part of history, and see if we can't get one more great moment.
I agree, Coach. Well, I want to say thank you so much for taking the time today, Coach, to do this interview. It's a pleasure talking to you, learning more about your team. Good luck in making this weekend. I'll definitely be cheering you guys on against Wheeler. Definitely want to see a great game. I know it will be. And just want to say thanks again, Coach. I'll probably try to talk to you again sometime next year before the season starts.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you having me on, man. Thanks for everything.
Yes, sir. Good luck, Coach.
Appreciate it.